Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer salute to yourself.
What? We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Smack dogs!
Good morning, everybody. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. The Drive with Say and Piper. I am Lance, Derek Piper to my left. You're supposed to be running the board one of these days. We're going to say that every day for another week.
I'm just going to have to do it. You stop talking about it.
You just have to come in and throw me and just say, Tay, sit down over there. Isaac Ambrose here as well. Brett Bielma spoke today. And second scrimmage for Illinois football. Of course, the season nears. And it's always good to hear from Coach B and get his thoughts on this. I know later this week on Thursday, Coach Bielma, Ryan Walters, Barry Lunny Jr., the main culprits, if you will be meeting with the media. So that'll be a big day Thursday and Friday to kind of get an idea of where they sit. And then, of course, next week, as we get here on Monday, Pipes, it is game week. And everything then with Coach Bielma, he will meet with the media on Monday, and then he usually does a little scrum on Thursday. So that's one thing I appreciate with him is that Mondays he usually recaps what happened on the weekend in that game, and then Thursday kind of gives you some updates and looks forward a little bit to the next opponent. But certainly, man, we're talking game week next week, Pipes. Are you ready?
I am ready.
I am too.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. We've talked a lot about, and we get to that point in the summer when you're starting to do the season outlooks and trying to project what this team's going to look like. And will the Illini have better quarterback play this year? Will the wide receiver room step up and have someone emerge beyond Isaiah Williams? Can Ryan Walters do it again with the defense, given the questions of the losses? And it reaches a point where it's fun talking about, but then you just got to go see it. You got to see them play games and answer those questions on the field. And the fact that we're only less than 2 weeks now away from that is really exciting.
That is crazy, and I'm excited for that. So we'll hear and talk plenty of Illinois football as we get closer to that date. I know Isaac is working on a new intro for our football shows. We're going to be doing at least one show a month at Pia's Sports Bar. So we're excited about that. The very first one will be the Friday before the Wyoming game. So next Friday is what I'm trying to get out.
And we had some fun there last year.
Oh, my goodness.
Great turnouts.
Oh, that was
awesome.
Anybody
that came by knows it. And if you haven't, you definitely should be a part of them this year.
And Josh Whitman will be rolling in around 5:15 that day. So we'll visit with Josh Whitman and get his thoughts on, as another football season rolls around. All right, so we're going to talk plenty of football. And today, my thought was to kind of go through, and we will as we go along, not only hear from Coach B, but maybe look a little bit more at this Illinois schedule and also some big non-conference games, not just for Illinois, not just for the Big Ten. Isaac Ambrose did some work today to kind of throw out some non-conference games to look forward to in college football as we roll along. A lot of times, those are those games that after you go in to an Illinois game and you come back out to the tailgate, then those games are on. Or with a 3 o'clock Illinois game, we'll be able to watch some early solid non-conference games and then head into Memorial Stadium for the Illini football game. So we'll get to some of that today. But, man, what happened down in St. Louis this weekend is something we have to start with. I want to ask you, because you know how a coach always remembers the losses. I don't think anybody's going to forget yesterday's game. And for good reason, with Albert Pujols and what he did, the Cardinals hit four home runs in that game. But isn't it amazing the Saturday game, after you win Friday to go up a game and a half, Adam Wainwright flirts with a no-hitter for most of the game. McCutchen breaks that up. And then, unfortunately, you drop that game to the Brewers to only have that half-game lead. And then, of course, you win again yesterday, push it back to 1.5. But that's the game that, like, really stands out to me. And a guy like Adam Wainwright, in a pennant race, goes out and does his thing. And he gave your team as good of a chance as possible to win a game.
That one stung.
It did.
Big time. And for Adam to bounce back the way that he did following the Yankee start, where he got roughed up and then gave up 6 earned runs and maybe 4 innings, whatever it might have been. And we knew, you mentioned it on Friday, the just gaudy stats that Burns had against the Cardinals. Oh. And it was like, all right, the Cardinals probably in a third go around, probably not going to hit him very well. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. They didn't get to him at all. But Waino was able to go inning for inning with him and keeping the Brewers down, and even was pitching better than Burns for pretty much the entirety of his start. Like you said, hitless through 6 innings, was it? And he was just, you saw that it was a big game and Waino was dialed in, and he was spectacular. Unfortunately, the Cardinals didn't give him the run support, and you'll be good with, as we're going to talk about yesterday's game, winning 2-3, but Saturday was definitely a frustrating result, knowing how good Waino was in that one.
I mean, you honestly felt like you maybe should have swept the Brewers. And I know that was the goal. Obviously, it's always the goal. But sometimes, you know, teams understand what's going to happen. But I think this Cardinals team was dialed into saying, hey, let's really go out here and make a statement. Let's be 2.5 games up on these Milwaukee Brewers and send them into, what, 10 of the next – or is it the next 10 games or something? 7 of them, I think, are against the Dodgers for Milwaukee. So it was one of those where let's get that lead where we have it. And for Milwaukee, to them, it was a chance, hey, let's get up a game or two on the Cardinals before we have to go face the Dodgers for 7 of the next 10. But certainly St. Louis then came off that tough loss Saturday, and that's kind of why I brought it up to you, and you said it perfectly. That was a tough loss, and sometimes those are hard to kind of bounce back from, kind of get out of your mind, but certainly Miles Michaelis made that a lot easier. He was really good yesterday. You talk about Waino bouncing back. Miles had all 5 pitches working for strikes. He really bounced back in a big way against that Brewers team.
Make it 12 of his last 15 starts have been quality starts.
Mm.
I mean, that's great. That's great consistency. He's up there in the top 5, I believe, in the league in innings pitch. So someone that's going deep into games as well. So that's certainly great to see. And yeah, I mean, he's been, for the most of the season, pitching like an ace caliber guy. I know that his ERA, based on getting roughed up in Colorado, elevated over 3. But this was a guy that, for the most part this season, has been, you know, 2.80 or 2.90. I mean, that's a really good ERA for a guy at the top of your rotation. And he was really, really good yesterday, and then got some pop in the bats of a couple of guys, one notably I know we're about to talk about.
We're about to do that. Now, I will note this, Dylan Carlson, who, you know, when you figure that trade that wasn't made with Juan Soto, and obviously Juan Soto plays right field. So obviously it was one of those situations where if the Cardinals were going to make that trade, I'm sure Dylan Carlson the entire time thought, well, I'm going to be the one that goes. Or at least one of those that goes. And then, of course, he was assured from John Mozeliak that is not the case that weekend prior to the trade deadline, essentially saying, you're not going anywhere, man. You're our guy. Of course, we didn't know that at the time Mo had something up his sleeve with the Yankees in terms of trading Harrison Bader, your center fielder, away. And now that moves Carlson over to center. But, you know, he came out and answered the bell on that Monday or maybe the day after the trade deadline where he homered. He had a great catch in center. But then he's kind of been scuffling a little bit in center field. There's no doubt about that. And not only him, but Tyler O'Neill, another guy that's been really kind of fighting it, trying to get things back to where we know he can be. And for both of them to have big home runs in this game yesterday. I know the 2 biggest home runs are coming up, and we're going to hear them both from Sir Albert. But for those two to get a home run, Carlson and O'Neill tied it. Carlson puts you in the lead 3-2. I mean, those were big hits for those guys, and especially a pair of guys that you need to get rolling if this Cardinals team has any serious thought of doing some damage in the postseason.
There's no doubt about it. And with Carlson, I don't know if it's fair to say they forced him into that leadoff spot because Edmund has struggled. So
I think he really has
certainly been just searching for an answer there and trying to move Tommy down and get him going again. But they've put Carlson at the top of the order. And while he's been there, I mean, not that he's been in the one spot through this entire stretch, but to your point, the very good performance after the trade deadline, but still in his last 15 games, he's hitting 131. With a 206 on base, like that's not very good.
Not
at all.
Good at all.
So for him to be able to get a home run and hopefully try to get some confidence going again and get out of that hitting funk. And speaking of hitting funk or just funk on the entire season is Tyler O'Neill.
Big time.
We're starting to see him have some games where he'd get two hits or you see a home run occasionally now. And we know how important he is to really elevating that lineup to another level because – I mean, we continue to come back to how good Goldie and Arenado have been. Now you throw Pujols in there, and that has it going here within the last month and a half. And if O'Neill were to somehow figure it out, if Carlson were to be a guy that you trust at the top of the order, if Edmund can fix it, even if he's batting six or seven or whatever it might be, and I haven't even mentioned Nolan Gorman, that's
good
the
call.
Lineup that we thought at the beginning of the year could be a really dangerous lineup. And we haven't seen it consistently play out that way for some of the reasons we've talked about, but that potential is still there. I know that we'll be hopeful, that Cardinals fans will be hopeful for it to play itself out here down the stretch.
I wonder if Ali Marmol has thoughts of down the stretch trying to get Edmund some time off. He has played as much as anybody on this team. He had a couple hits yesterday, at least one, a triple, or a double, I'm sorry. But he's one of those guys that we're talking, he was hitting over 300 midway through the first part of the first half of the season, if that made any sense. And now he's scuffling down around 250 and really just a guy that I think, you know, you talk a lot about, there's certain guys and you look at him and you say, well, you know, we don't want to expose him too much because that's when over the long haul, you know, they're going to come back to the means, if you will. And it feels like to me, Edmund is in that category to where, you know, look, he's not Goldie, he's not Arenado, he's not going to be carrying that 300 average the entire season like those guys can. But I think Edmund is a guy I would love to see down the stretch, if possible, get some extra rest, get back to where we like him to be. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't mind Dylan Carlson. I want Tommy Edmund as my leadoff guy in the playoffs. I just really want that. And I'd be fine then with Carlson too, and then go on down the order from there if needed. So it's just one of those situations where when you look at a guy like O'Neill, like you talk about, if he can get right, well, the inconsistency has been there. And so if he can get right but also do that in the sixth spot, then I'm okay with that. Carlson, obviously, if you're going to bat him second, he needs to get right for sure. But I think Tommy Edmund could be the key. And getting him some rest, getting him back to where he is hitting like we know he can and reaching base, he has pure speed. And if you could get him up there and get him going and get him on base, knowing that Goldie and Arenado are coming up, I mean, I think that could be a huge key to the Cardinals in the playoffs.
I fully agree with that. Even for as much as Tommy struggled here, you know, in the second half of the season or really past that first month and a half, 2 months where he started really strong, he's hitting 256, and that's 20 points higher than Dylan Carlson, who's currently leading off for you at 236.
Big like that. Call.
I would have more faith in Tommy being at the top, and then you throw in his speed as well if he's able to get on base, steal in his scoring position, that type of thing, in front of Goldie, Arenado. And, yeah, if you just slide Carlson to the two spot and hope that he's more consistent, then I think that top is intact as you would have projected towards the start of the season. You would have thought that Tommy would be your leadoff hitter for the stretch of the year, and hopefully he's able to get back into a groove where he can be that again.
Maybe there's another guy that could force his way into the four hole, and you could move Goldie to two, you could move Arenado to three, maybe Albert.
Interesting.
At four. I don't know that you do that, but certainly
with
yesterday.
Lefty on the mound, I think
in a
the
heartbeat,
stats say you can do that.
That's a great point. Yesterday it was special. I know most of you watched it. I know most of you have heard it. But here it is, back-to-back, Albert Pujols yesterday, getting closer to that, not elusive, getting closer to that number 700 home run that, let's be honest, coming into the season, there was that brief hope. Then the way it started, I remember he hit a monster home run in Milwaukee, and I'm kind of like, well, then it was like, yeah, never mind. I mean, it was just not happening. The power
went
wasn't
like a month plus without a home run.
And then now all of a sudden, you know, two in one day will get you two closer. So here's Albert yesterday, not only a call from Bally Sports Midwest with Dan McLaughlin, but also on the radio with guys like John Rooney with KMOX and the Cardinal Radio Network, which you hear right here on ESPN 93.5, also Rick Horton. They called them both, Albert Pujols. Here's 2 minutes of just pleasure.
Albert Pujols, the designated hitter.
Bird hits it down the left field line. Two, 105 off the bat, and a curtain call to come.
Extra base hit, 1,385 for a career 296 hitter.
And he hit it off the French fries. And what a bomb that was. And the crowd loves it. You know, just watching him play, John, but he's not just playing. He is producing. He's producing big time, 688, and the crowd's still standing. They want a curtain call.
There it is. Tip of the batting helmet to the crowd from the future Hall of Famer, number 5, Albert Pujols. The pitch on the way. Pujols swings and hits a drive. Deep left center field. It's long, long, gone! A home run! Three-run homer! Albert Pujols, sensational!
Oh, my goodness! Way out of here! Three-run bomb! His second of the day! 689!
Pujols is St. Louis serious. A two-home run game today. Unbelievable!
443 feet. 109 off the bat. His second home run of the day, and soon to be his second curtain call.
This isn't about sentimentality. This man can flat out still hit.
Since that stretch against the Phillies, I think that's when Albert kind of got going. Since then, I mean, could you imagine this going as well as it has with as locked in he's been against righties and lefties?
Even when it wasn't going well, he carries himself and speaks with a ton of confidence. It's what allows him to have success as well. He doesn't ride the ups and downs of the season like a first or second year guy would. So, no, it's not surprising. This is a guy that knows what he's doing, and right now we're seeing a really, really good version of Albert.
There is Ollie Marmol, his manager, who I believe is younger than Albert Pujols. So it's always kind of cool dynamic in there. But, man, it was special. And it's just one of those things. Pipes, I had the chance. I was actually watching the game with my mom, and who's always been a big Cardinals fan, and she watches every game. And I know there's people just like her out there that just, you know, just love watching, listening to the Cardinals. And when he hit that second home run to put him up, I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was just like, oh, there you go. Can you believe? And she just talks the whole time. So we get done, and she gets done talking, and I'm like, well, Mom, can I hear their version now of the home run call? So she then gave me a bad look. But it was funny because, I mean, I don't think my mom would care if I said it. She's 82 years old. But she looked at me after that, and she's like, I want him to come back again. I want Albert to come back. And I think during the game, I think McLaughlin said, it is great to have number 5 back in St. Louis. And I could hear my mom say, amen. And it just does feel right. I know that, you know, there's always that sentiment out there like, oh, here we go, Cardinals fans. It just feels right to have him there. And I understand that it's not the Albert that we knew for 11 years. Good luck with that. Good luck finding another guy like that that does that kind of a stretch in baseball. But just the fact that he's does what he did yesterday in a huge game to give you a game and a half lead in the division. I just think there's so many people out there that would almost run it back with Albert, Waino. And the problem with Yadi is it's such a demanding position. I think we know
and he's not hitting that well.
And he's not hitting that well. Now, Albert, you could probably get away with him coming back one more year. He's not going to, I don't think. Now, Wainwright, definitely you could see coming back another year. And I think strategically, as a Cardinals fan, I'm fine with him back another year. But Albert and these guys, it's just a cool moment, man. It's just a cool thing to see down the stretch. And it's so hard to win a World Series. It's so hard to do really well in the playoffs. I know there's no excuse to that. I'm not trying to give them a free out. it's time that the Cardinals do some damage in the postseason. But, man, yesterday and moments like this weekend make memories. And that's what it's all about for me right now, is just the memories of what is happening. And for Albert to do it on another two-home run day and something I'll always remember, that was just cool.
So many different ways to go with that. Mm-hmm. If he's at 697 at the end of the year, he's not coming back to try to get 700. Ooh. I mean, the way he's hitting lefties right now,
I know.
There's no signs of him not being someone that can step to the plate as a DH against a lefty starter or a pinch hitter.
You want him up or Corey Dickerson?
Him.
Right.
I mean, lefty, you're obviously
going to... No, I still want Pujols up.
Against a righty?
Yep.
Probably.
In a heartbeat. I'm not kidding you. I'm not even coming fresh off yesterday's game, which obviously we are. I mean, Dickerson had a chance yesterday, faced three fastballs down the gut at 98 and didn't come close on any of them. You give me stretch drive postseason veteran Albert Pujols.
Oh, yeah.
Any day.
Well, even if you're just looking at a guy that's going to situationally play against lefties, he's hitting 351 against lefties. His OPS is well over 1,000. He's got to be up there. I know the sample size is limited compared to a guy that plays every day, but he's one of the best hitters in the game against lefties right now, period. Forget all the emotional stuff that's tied into that. But I should have started with that, with the emotions of a Cardinals fan.
That's my fault. I jumped on you.
No. There's just different ways to think about it. But, yeah, as someone that – Albert's the greatest Cardinal I've ever seen.
Mm.
And that's the case for a lot of people.
Yep.
And one of the best hitters that we've ever seen in this generation, or just in general, statistically through his first 11 seasons, is up there with –
The greats
in baseball. Yeah, anybody. So to have him come back to St. Louis, there was already the emotional part of it. And just to also know that there's a month and a half left of the regular season, then it's you get in the postseason and nothing's guaranteed. The Cardinals aren't even guaranteed right now to go to the postseason, currently in position. So you know some of these times are limited. Like there's only so many more times to flip on a game on a weekend. Doesn't matter what night, but I feel like there's something attached to like a Sunday at Busch for Albert, because there's been some of those special moments in the past, and for him to hit two like that, it was even cool watching the replay of the second one. The outfielders don't even move.
No.
Like, that's how much he tagged that one to center field. Like the outfielders didn't even flinch, and the way he reacted and looked towards the bench, and that trio of him and Yachty and Wendell, you're just trying to soak all that up as much as you can. And it's different now to where – at the beginning of the year when Pujols was first signed, we're like, I don't know if it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he hits 150 and they start to not play him and he gets rubbed the wrong way. And that's kind of what happened in L.A., but he's been re-energized. He's playing well, and now we just kind of get to see this play out in the stretch, which is awesome.
You don't know this, and it's not a fair question to you, but do you feel like with a guy like Albert, where I just talked about how I'd love to see Tommy Edman get some rest down the stretch, do you feel like with a guy like Albert, you'd rather see him in the lineup every day? Not every day, but most every day. It almost seems like he's seeing more pitches now and he's getting better every day. But yet you also understand the age. You understand that you can't wear him out. You want him to be fresh. I even go back to the Home Run Derby. Was it great for baseball? Yeah. Did Albert have a great time with it? Yes. Did all the young kids show him the respect and the love that he deserves in terms of, the Juan Sotos of the game? And that was awesome.
Yeah.
And
Albert, FanDuel win a lot of money because Schwarber didn't beat him in the first round? Yes, they did.
Okay, hold on a second. That?
It's the truth.
That is exactly the truth. But I seriously, as a selfish Cardinals fan, I was like, I don't want Albert getting worn down on the Home Run Derby. I feel like I've seen that actually happen to other younger guys, that they never really bounce back in the second half after they just wasted all this energy in a Home Run Derby. And I'm not one of those guys that poo-poos on things. I know it's great for baseball, and it's what young kids want to see, and we want to grow the game and grow the young fans. But I sat there thinking, why is Albert – he's not going to win this thing. So why is he wasting at bats at his age? But you know what? I don't know. I do. I almost feel like, and I think it'll be one of the bigger challenges for Ollie Marmol down the stretch here. Milwaukee's not going anywhere, even with the stretch coming up of 7-10 against the Yankees. But there's got to be a chance.
Dodgers.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Dodgers. There's has to be a chance where you rest some Edman, you rest a little bit of Pujols, but Where are we with a veteran like that? To get back to my question, do you think it's a guy that is that says, hey, man, Maine, I can't ever do it right. Maine, I can handle my body. Don't worry about me. Anytime you want to put me in the lineup, put me in there. And if I don't feel like it, I'll tell you, hey, we're good. I guess maybe Marmol has to go to him and say, Albert, I'm leaning on you, man. You're a Hall of Famer. First time, I mean, sure bet, first ballot Hall of Famer. You tell me, how many games do you want to play this week? How many times do you need to rest? I mean, maybe a manager doesn't feel like they should do that. I would totally do that with a guy like Albert Pujols.
I agree with you. I think you made a really good point about Dickerson versus Albert in a situation, even against a righty. And I think that for him to get comfortable in a spot, like say it's down the stretch of you're pushing for a playoff berth or you're in the playoffs and you expect him to do well against the righty, yeah. He's got to be able to see them. He's got to be in the lineup against righties. And one of the questions I had when he was hitting sub 200 for the month of May and also June is like, all right, so he's not doing well. Does he need more at-bats to get in a rhythm?
Good call.
Because it seemed like he played once every four or five games, right. And that was it. And then he was out for maybe another three, and it was just no consistency in the way that he was playing. Now, I understand that you might have been saving him for later in the year, and I think that, not that we're in the clubhouse, but all the vibes of Albert, like when you get camera shots of him on the bench, he didn't look like a guy that was unhappy. He looked like a guy that understood the role but also wasn't like bothered by not playing a weekend series in June, like all three games. So now the way that he's definitely in a rhythm. I mean, in August he's hitting 368. Even in July he hit 320.
Wow.
So yeah, I want him to get as many at bats as he's willing to take at this point. And even if it is against righties, not that I wouldn't still in the back of my mind wonder about wearing him down.
Right.
But at the same time, I want him to stay in a groove and not to like overmanage it of like, okay, well, we're going to face three righties in a row. And I know you've been hot, but maybe you just get one start.
That's fair.
It's something to consider for sure.
And the schedule can dictate that. It was funny while you were describing him early in the season where he would maybe go two or three games without playing. He felt like a novelty, right? He felt like that. Because a lot of people were like, oh, look at the Cardinals getting Albert back to finish with Yachty and maybe Waino, and oh, what a cute story and this and that. And then you even had Cardinals fans that were like, well, that's great. Don't get me wrong. I love the storyline. We love Yachty, or we love all three of those guys, but we want to win, right? So if this is only going to be a novelty and Pujols isn't actually going to help you down the stretch, then what's the point of this thing? But now he doesn't feel like a novelty anymore. Now he feels like a weapon. And he's never going to be the Albert that we remember. He is a guy that is going to be needed off the bench. On occasion, he can play. Obviously, the DH gives him the chance to be in the lineup a lot more often. You're not going to put him out there on defense. So, you know, it, to me, in my mind, it's kind of gone from, all right, let's see what he's got. And then it was like, yeah, he's kind of a novelty. Now it's like, well, hold on a second. Maybe we truly, and like you said, against lefties, have one of the most dangerous pinch hitters in the league. And against righties, I mean, I'm telling you right now, Pipes, and I know, again, I'm coming off the high of a two-home run game, but I know from all the years of watching Albert in clutch times, if you told me during a game against a righty, we've got Nolan Gorman on the bench or we got Albert Pujols, and if it's a huge game or if it's a postseason, I'm saying let number five have the bat. I really am. I mean, Gorman, one day. But right now, and I think I'd be wrong on that, I think Marmol would go with Nolan Gorman against a righty and probably should, and maybe most baseball fans would say that. Maybe it's the allure, the romanticism of every time I watched Albert Pujols come through when needed. I still think I would go number five up there and trust him.
I think that's still a big factor as you get down into those season-defining type of moments.
There's nothing he hasn't seen.
Right. I would think that would put him in the starting lineup, even against a righty. You might have to make a decision of,
good
I know,
call.
Have we seen Edmund at short here recently? Not much. But then, I mean, Paul DeJong, who, you know, it's one game. He goes 0 for 4 yesterday at 3 strikeouts. He's only hitting 192 on the season. And that's been boosted up here since he's been called back up. But it's almost like, who would I rather see get four at-bats? Regardless, lefty, righty, let's say it's a righty. In a postseason game or in a game that's going to matter whether you get to the playoffs or not, is DeJong or Pujols?
Pujols.
Pujols or Tyler O'Neill?
Pujols.
Pujols or Dickerson?
Like, not even
now
close.
You're starting to
– Yeah.
it's even guys where you might say, well, maybe Edmund should start at short and then put Gorman at second base and Pujols DH versus DeJong getting in there or whatever combination that's going to be. I fully agree with you. I think that the clutch factor is even added to the fact that now he's starting to get it going, and whether it's lefty or righty, you want to see him in there.
That's a good point. Cardinals off today. They're off today, and then they've got a home series with the Rockies.
At the Rockies at home, and then you're at the Diamondbacks.
Oh, that's right, at the Diamondbacks. So, and then next week, a fun week. You got the Cubbies on that slate.
Five games against the Cubs.
Okay. I was looking at the schedule today. I only saw four. I thought I saw two on a Tuesday, one on a Wednesday, and one on a Thursday. But maybe is the Thursday a doubleheader as well?
Fact-checking myself.
Hold on. Because I think I was with you as well that it was five games. But for some reason, I looked today.
So they play Monday. This is next Monday, a week from today. Monday, two on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay. So they play Monday. Five-game series at Wrigley. Woo! During the week, too. Gosh dang it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Maybe we just...
Well, you won't hear us on Tuesday, I imagine.
Well, I don't know.
It's a 120. It's one of those 120, 705s, yeah.
The way these afternoon games have been moving, they're the fastest games of the year, the afternoon games. They go
seems that way.
2 hours and 40 minutes. So I wouldn't bet against us possibly.
You never
being,
know. Being afternoon at Wrigley, if the wind, you know, the whole like cliche, the wind blowing out, afternoon game at Wrigley, those games could take forever, but maybe not.
I've been to a couple 4 or 5 hour games there where – you're getting close to the seventh inning. It's like, we better load up because they're going to stop selling beer here in a minute, and this game is probably 2 hours away from ending.
But then watch. Hendricks versus Michaelis, like 105 on a Tuesday. Yeah, we'll be on.
Boy, Michaelis loves to work fast. So does Andy Ashby. Those two were just, give me the ball, throw. Give me the ball, throw. Give me the ball, throw. I'm just like, man. So it was pretty fun. All right. We've probably gushed too much about Albert and the Cardinals, but I don't care. I'm going to take you to break with Albert again, hitting that home run, hitting both of them. I don't care. And I love hearing every second of it. When we come back, Major League Baseball released its postseason schedule. And do you like baseball in November? Think about a November game at Wrigley Field or Busch Stadium. November baseball is here to stay for a while, but we'll kind of go over that. Brett Bielma, we've got your Illini football coach. We'll hear from him next hour. Plenty to do if you want to weigh in, 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. That's the U of I Illini Link text line. You can always call us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. You can find us on Twitter at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lante, ESPNCU.
I'm a D Piper 247. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevyj.com, stevyjay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Tay and Piper or The Drive 93.5.
Albert Pujols, the designated hitter.
Hits it down the left field line. Big Mac Land! A blast for Albert's 688 home runs with an exclamation point. 392, 105 off the bat, and a curtain call to come.
Extra base hit, 1,385 for a career 296 hitter.
And he hit it off the French fries. What a bomb that was. And the crowd loves it. You know, just watching him play, John, but he's not just playing. He is producing. He's producing big time. 688, and the crowd still standing. They want a curtain call.
There it is. Tip of the batting helmet to the crowd from the future Hall of Famer, number 5, Albert Pujols. The pitch on the way. Pujols swings and hits a drive. Deep left center field. It's long, long, gone! A home run! Three-run homer! Albert Pujols, sensational! Way out here! Three-run bomb! His second of the day! 689! Pujols is St. Louis serious. A two-home run game today. Unbelievable!
443 feet. 109 off the bat. his second home run of the day, and soon to be his second curtain call. This isn't about sentimentality.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
There's plenty of time to enjoy swimming outside at the Crystal Lake Park Family Aquatic Center with the pool open through Labor Day, 12:30 to 7 weekdays, and 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. on weekends. Once school starts, the pool will be open 4 to 7 weekdays and 11 to 7 on the weekends. Kids under 4 are free. Youth under age 11 must be accompanied by an adult. Lap swims available Monday through Friday. Crystal Lake Park Family Aquatic Center, Urbana Park. Park District, you belong here.
Get slam dunk savings at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World on a Frigidaire top load laundry pair. I'm Jay Layman, and this pair is the real deal. Best value in Central Illinois. Get a stainless steel high capacity washer with agitator and a matching stainless steel drum on the dryer. It's as easy as a breakaway lamp. For a limited time, get the pair with an electric dryer for $1,260. And yes, it comes with a free 10-year protection plan on both the washer and dryer. But here's the inside scoop. Go to ApplianceWorld.com and click on the coupons and get an additional $25 off the sale price on the pair. I've always got the inside track on the best deals, my friends, at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. Don't get caught shooting air ball at the buzzer. This is a can't-miss game winner. Ask for the Frigidaire Top Load Laundry Pair and save mad money. Only at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. That's appliance-world.com.
This is Gina from ABC Heating and Air Conditioning. If you're looking for a top-of-the-line air conditioner, think Amana. We carry all sizes and offer expert installation. ABC Heating and Air Conditioning is locally owned, and we've been in business for 50 years. And for 50 years, the only brand we've sold is Amana. So go with a company that is local, dependable, and will be there for you no matter what time of day or night. ABC, always be comfortable. Let us install your new Amana air conditioner. Visit www.abcheatingandac.com.
There is one name you need to know in car repair in the Central Illinois area, and that's John Marshall. John is the owner of PDR Automotive in Urbana and makes it his mission to know that your car will start when you come to pick it up. John strives for a repair in the most efficient time possible and is the right person to take care of your car. From tires to engine to electrical to the simple oil change. Trust in John at PDR. 1008 North Cunningham in Urbana. John's team will take care of you like family.
Hey, this is Ben Grice at the Humble Hog in downtown Paxton. And if you haven't been up to Paxton for our barbecue yet, let me tell you, you don't need a reservation. Just come on up. Barbecue with us is about as casual can get. We've got all your favorites. We're talking brisket, pork, amazing smoked turkey, our sausage. And while you're there, be sure to try the Paxton Punch. You can thank me on that later. Check us out online at humblehogbbq.com.
Prairie Garden's big houseplant sale is going on now. Right now, you can save 25% off all houseplants, snake plants, monsteras, fiddleleaf fig ferns, you name it. They're all 25% off and fresh from the PG Greenhouses, where you'll always find help from your favorite plant experts. Just hurry in. All houseplants are 25% off for a limited time at Prairie Gardens. Locally owned plant experts and the area's largest selection of houseplants.
Hey, Line Eye fans, it's Georgia B. Catch my boys Lante and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 on The Drive. Boom, boom, brr.
Man, I still miss Georgie B. Can we get him back in the studio again? I mean, that's just that day alone. He's just walking around, giving everybody putting their arm around him, getting pictures. It's just Georgie B, man. Hey, saving is a step to building a stronger future, whether establishing a college fund, saving for retirement, or building an emergency fund. Busey encourages you to begin your path to savings today, and they say that by creating a budget. So important. Track your spending with an online budgeting system, Money Manager through Busey eBank. Then you just save. Save, save, save. That's what they say, Busey eBank. You can use that to control and monitor finances. There's the Busey mobile app. You can check anytime you want what you're spending and where. And a big change called saving a little every day effortlessly. Add big change to your checking account, and here's how it works. Every time you swipe, the transaction is rounded up to the nearest dollar. So if it's $12.39 you're spending on, oh, I don't know, what would that be? Maybe a 12 of Bud Light? Then I don't even know how much that is. All of a sudden, boom, they make it an even 13, and there you go. You got change that has been put into your account. Get started on your savings goals today with an innovative products and services at Busey. Visit Busey.com for more resources or stop by one of their many convenient locations. Member FDIC.
Let me tell you about Game Day Spirit.
Yeah, baby.
Two locations, Neil, Green Street. We are less than 2 weeks away from Illinois football, which means we're also less than 2 weeks away from you running into Lante. Hopefully myself as well, but running into Lante in the tailgate lots.
Spending $12.39.
There you go. He already told you. Don't be the guy that wore the same shirt all of last season this year. Get some new swag at Game Day Spirit. They got shirts, hats, jerseys.
Or get fat like me and you got to go buy new stuff.
Anything and everything you could want Illini related, Game Day Spirit is the place to go.
I love it. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, Lante, Derek Piper, Isaac Ambrose here as well. We were just talking off the air about next week being game week for Illinois football. Of course, Mondays, Coach Bielma always meets with the media, also does that on Thursdays. So we'll always hear from Coach, but we'll get you updated maybe next on Monday of game week. We'll kind of ratchet up our thoughts as well about this Illinois football team, try to tell you about what we're expecting, not just against Wyoming, but for the entire season and who we really have a lot of faith in, who we're really questioning in terms of we need to see this. So we'll do that, kind of get you up to speed on the Big Ten as well. Just fun to get a chance to start talking college football again. We'll probably have somebody on that covers the Wyoming Cowboys, get thoughts on
unless
what
they transferred.
Because another good one for Pipes. Yeah, their starting quarterback's now at Montana State. Their starting running back is now at
Arizona State.
Their starting wide receiver, I say starting, I mean their star.
Leading
receiver is
Texas.
At Texas. Their leading tackler is with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Their leading interceptor, I don't know how to say that, sounds like a dinosaur, is that same guy that led him in tackles. He's still with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And they had two corners transfer as well.
Wow. To like Oklahoma and Texas. So there you go. Wyoming, that wasn't a very good transfer portal offseason.
That's what you get for going to a bowl game. You win seven games and you're Wyoming, all of a sudden your players leave.
They did go to the famous Idaho Bowl.
They did.
So that's an important
thing. A little too
famous. Right. Yeah, now it's a little too famous, and now everybody just decided they're getting out of Dodge. All right, Pipes. A little more baseball to chat. For the top of the hour, we're going to hear from Brett Bielma next hour. They had a second scrimmage, Illinois football, so we'll get a chance to hear his thoughts on how that went. I don't know. I'm knocking on wood here. It doesn't sound like many injuries or things that are really affecting him this year, so that's good. I'll shut up on that.
We did see Luke Ford's going to miss some time. I know that.
Yeah, that's right. So Tip Ryman will have to step up, maybe one of the younger tight ends in that group. There's a couple they like in that freshman group, or even I know Marchese is now at the tight end. So they've got some guys. We'll see. Hopefully against a Wyoming, you just run the ball downhill and score a lot of points. Not have to worry too much about who you're missing and who you have out there. All right, Major League Baseball has released its postseason schedule, and I don't think the World Series begins until November 5th. Am I correct on that?
The World Series Game 1 will be October 28th.
Oh, okay. So I don't know why I was reading
Game there. 7, if necessary, would be Saturday, November 5th.
Okay. I must have seen then that if it went 7, they would be into November. I don't know if that's happened before. It probably has. But certainly that's going to be cold in a lot of spots in this great country of ours.
Be cool. Game 3 of the World Series will be Monday on Halloween, October 31st.
Oh, okay. Okay. Who are some possible? You got the Yankees. That would be cold. The Dodgers, you'd be in good shape. Padres, you'd be in good shape. Cardinals and Cubs. Cubs, you'd be cold for sure.
I don't think you got to worry about the Cubs this year.
No.
Future Novembers, we can talk about that maybe Cardinals, 3, 4, or 5 years from now.
You never know. I mean, there's times we tailgate in late October, early November, where you're out there in just a pullover and shorts. Of course, I'm usually always in shorts. But it's not too bad sometimes, but boy, it can get chilly at night. So you've got that.
You're probably fine in Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta'd be okay.
It could be running back the Subway Series,
mm-hmm.
Mets and Yankees, because the Mets are going to be a major factor on the NL side.
I believe the Mets and Braves begin a series tonight. That would be fun to watch.
DeGrom's back to dealing, so that's scary, of course.
Man, is he good. He was... I saw highlights of his last game. It was not even like, you know, when a guy, well, a lot of times it's what the Cardinals look like against Corbin Burns, but they just look like they're swatting flies. One of those where sometimes you'll see a guy take an awkward swing and you'll sit there, watch a game and be like, you know what? Albert was probably looking fastball there or probably looking off speed, got the fastball, so he just had an awkward swing to foul it off. Or, I mean, every swing with DeGrom looks awkward. I'm just like, goodness sakes. So you got Scherzer and DeGrom now. And the trumpet out of the out of the pen coming in. Yeah, that Mets team is going to be good. And I don't feel like we've been sleeping on them. I feel like you have touted them all season. So that's going to be really fun to watch. You know, the Braves won the World Series last year, so I don't know, it'd be tough for them to win that again. But, man, there's going to be some good baseball coming up here down the stretch for sure. So the World Series would start end of October. I think, does it say what else is going on? Like, when do the wild card rounds? I don't even know. I forget now how it even works. Like, if you're the fifth team, you play the fourth team, I think, and then the winner of that plays whoever the one seed is. So let's say the Dodgers are the one, whoever's 4 and 5, which could be the Padres, play, and then they would play the Dodgers. And then I think it's like 3 versus 6, then plays the 2. I don't know. It's crazy. I mean, I got to do a lot of research on this.
I think you're right on that.
I think it's 3-6 plays the 2, because I think the Cardinals would be 3 right now. And if they win that, then they would play the Mets. Is that right? And all you have to do then is beat Scherzer and DeGrom.
Oh, that's it.
And the trumpet. How quick will I begin to hate that? Like game one, Mets up 2-1, ninth inning, and here
it
comes.
Yeah, you won't be standing in your living room clapping as you're going to feel the urge to if you're just hearing it against the Braves this week.
Right. I mean, it just immediately I'll be like, here we go. Here comes the...
Baseball needs to get some consistency so we know what the playoff format is. Because last year was a one-game playoff out in L.A. for the Cardinals. Now at least there's 3-game series for the wild card.
And the home team hosts every game.
That's right.
So if the Cardinals are 3 going against the 6, it would be at Busch Stadium, and they would host all 3 games, and you got to win 2 of 3.
Good point. I forgot about that.
Yeah, to then get a chance to face Scherzer, who would be well-rested by then, and DeGrom. So, I mean, essentially what they're doing is they're getting more teams in the playoffs, but they're also giving a little bit more of advantage to a team that finishes and wins the division. Although, I think if you even win the division and you're 3, you're still not exactly much of an advantage over top 2. And maybe that's how it should be. Maybe that's how it should be. Maybe the Dodgers, if they end up winning the West, which they will, and the Mets, if they end up winning the East, maybe they deserve that big of an advantage over even a division winner like the Cardinals. Because there's going to be some seasons where that's not always the case, obviously. And really, with the division the Cardinals have played in all season, there's no reason why they shouldn't be the number two team in the National League if they're that good. So we'll see. It's
going to
be
given getting to play the Cubs, Pirates, and Reds as much as you do. But I know that even last year, the complaint was for the Dodgers. They were what? The Cardinals were an 89-90 win team, and the Dodgers won over 100. But there was kind of that. Well, you had to face Scherzer in L.A. to get past them. It was the one-game type of deal of, well, maybe the better team might not win in a one-game sample size. Instead, you get a three-game series for the team that's actually ahead in the standings and more of an advantage in that sense.
Man, think about that, too. If that scenario happened where the Mets are waiting on you, and you used, you know what, you start Michaelis game one. Let's say you're facing the Padres. You got Michaelis game one. Maybe you counter with Waino game two and then Montgomery game three.
Mm-hmm.
And then you all of a sudden then get the Mets where you're going, what,
Quintana against DeGrom or Quintana against
Scherzer. Then you're back to Michaelis against DeGrom and then Waino against Urias or whoever they have. Is he even on the team? Is he play for the Brewers?
Urias. Isn't he a he's a Dodger.
Oh, he's a Dodger. Okay.
They got Carrasco.
Oh, yeah. Who's the other 18-2 guy or whatever? Escaped
my mind. Well, you're counting out our guy, though.
Who'd that
miss?
Did you
hear?
Uh-oh.
The Jack Flaherty is going to make a rehab start. And it was funny on the broadcast. I think it was Friday.
He looked really good in that.
Did he?
Did you see highlights of that?
I didn't. No, what I think McLaughlin said was or maybe it was Jimmy the Cat. He felt really good, and while the stats didn't look great, he felt really good.
Oh, he was dealing.
Was he?
There was a lot of movement. He was throwing the ball hard. Maybe.
Sounds like you're back in.
No. Because I still got to see him do it at a big league level. Yeah, no, I'm not back in yet. Listen, I'm not going to be upset if he decides to come and be a stud. Maybe he'll be our ace. Oh, boy. All right, break. Got Brett Bielema coming up, Illinois football coach. Your thoughts, 359-2255. It is The Drive.
Hey, this is Tim Sinclair, public address voice of Fighting Illini basketball. You're used to hearing me talk about my favorite team during the games, but now I'll also be talking about my favorite fan store before the games. I've teamed up with Game Day Spirit to get you ready for the season. Just head to one of Game Day's two locations, at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or at 6th and Green in Campustown. Or check out GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, official fan store of the Fighting Illini.
At Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people with amazing service, great design advice, and unbeatable selection and the best prices in town. It's the perfect time to update your home with waterproof flooring, carpet, hardwood, tile, and more. Then complete your rooms by shopping our incredible selection of furniture and accessories. We also offer great financing options. Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery, we're flooring people.
Here's what new customers are saying about Interstate Batteries.
It's nice to see capable and helpful associates. They did a top-notch job.
They were easy to talk to and explained everything.
Service was prompt and I was a walk-in. Total service time was only like 20 minutes. I highly recommend Interstate Batteries.
Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. How much is dependable worth? Experience them for the first time at 2504 North Mattis. Way out there, but worth the drive. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Visit InterstateBatteries.com.
Jay Layman here, former U of I All-American linebacker. Do you like steak? Do you like red meat? Well, if you do, you got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. They had phenomenal steaks, sides, salads. I love the onion rings and the fried mushrooms as well as the fried pickles. You've got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Gifford. That's right. Make the trip to Gifford for some of the best steaks you'll have. Kids love it too. I brought my whole family. I'll see you at Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford.
Illinois football will have the national spotlight on August 27th.
The Illini in the debut of Brett Bielema celebrate a win.
We need you at Memorial Stadium as the Fighting Illini take on Wyoming during week zero, the opening weekend of college football. Bring your friends and family and get a four-pack of tickets for only $59. Four packs are available now at FightingIllini.com or by calling 866-Illini1. Hail to the Orange!
You're listening to WSJK ESPN 93.5 Tuscola, Champaign, Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.